that tuned in earlier. Thanks to everybody that is tuned in right now. Nate Phillips, thanks for always tuning in. So we are back once again. Sports Rap Podcast is the group right now. Facebook, so get over there and check us out. Tune in. If you feel it, leave us some comments. Mm-hmm. Let us know who you are. Let us know you're tuned in. And you know how we do. We'll get some of your comments as read on air. Yep. And Mo, we back up, boss lady. So let us know you tuned in, and we can pull you in or invite you into the feed. So I'm going to give you some scores for the Christmas Day games. And again, I hope everybody had a very blessed, safe holiday season. For me, like I said, Christmas this year was just another day. For me, wasn't anything special. And you couldn't feel any holiday spirit.
Yeah, it didn't feel well.
I know usually around the city, you go up and down Broad Street and you either see ribbons along the light poles, you see some lights here and there. But it was like nothing. It was like nothing, you know? So it's like it was no real get into the spirit, you know? Again, I was blessed to be with family, so that was my Christmas.
Right.
That was what really counted for me. We were all healthy and safe for Christmas, considering everything that we've been through the last year and a half, 2 years. So that's what I was mostly thankful. And that's going back to Thanksgiving. That's what I was mostly thankful for. So I hope everybody had a good holiday, a safe holiday. Hope you made the best of it. Because like I said, for me, it didn't feel like the holiday season. Although for me, the last several years, I've just been, as far as the holidays, focusing on my kid, making sure he was happy. And the family and the wife, make sure everybody's happy there. And for me, it was just like, all right, it's Christmas. Okay. You know, I've just gotten to that point, I guess, with my age and how I've gotten older. Yeah. So I've just gotten to that point.
Right.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So on Christmas Day,
the
Knicks defeated the Hawks 101-87.
Right.
The Bucks got by the Celtics 117-113. The Warriors beat the Suns 116-107. The Mavs fell to the Jazz 120-116. And the mighty Lakers took one on the chin to the Brooklyn Nets.
Put my hoodie up.
So don't put that up.
Yeah,
Don't put that hoodie up.
Win, lose, or draw. Fans.
Don't put that up.
Because 17 world titles. 17.
But again,
I'm a fan.
But again, like we said earlier in the show. What have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And I do. You get the credit.
Okay, Janet Jackson.
You get the credit for the 17 titles.
Yeah.
But we're talking about what's going on right now.
Yes, sir.
In a small way, the Lakers are a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All seriousness, yes.
They're a mess.
I'm having fun with it.
Frank, you know me. You know we talk. It's the same thing I've been telling you since they got him.
Yeah, LeBron. Yes.
Not even LeBron.
No, Westbrook.
Anthony Davis.
Both.
Even past Westbrook.
Anthony
Davis. I've said it. I said it ever since.
Can't stay healthy.
I said it even when he was in New Orleans.
Always injured.
He cannot stay healthy.
Yes, you said
it. I've said it consistently. I've said it.
Yeah.
So, everything that the Lakers did over the summer had me trickling back to the Karl Malone, Gary Payton season when they had the five Hall of Famers in the starting five and couldn't win.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything. You still got to play the games.
Yeah. Old to the old.
Their acquisitions this summer were, in my opinion,
desperate moves.
I wouldn't say desperate.
Media.
They weren't concisely thought out.
Right. Correct.
You traded away Lonzo Ball, who was beginning to get better. You see what he's doing now in Chicago. You see what he's doing now in Chicago.
And he's younger.
You also let and this is not a household name, it's not a big game, but he was very, very important to you guys last year. Caruso. You let Caruso go.
Yeah, that's a big.
You let Caruso go.
Big loss.
Yeah. Then you brought in Carmelo Anthony, and I love Carmelo Anthony, but he's not the Carmelo Anthony you need right now to win you a chip.
That's right.
2-3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not that Carmelo Anthony anymore. Right. He's still a serviceable player in the NBA.
2010.
Okay. Now, where the desperation I felt came in is once the COVID started to hit, and then they were allotted, and every team in the NBA was allotted a signing for the COVID issues.
Right.
So they could fill out rosters.
Right.
You signed Isaiah Thomas, which was a great thing. Mm-hmm. Great move. You didn't re-sign him for another 10-day contract.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is arguably a mistake.
Why it should have
major mistake. Yeah.
Westbrook, in my opinion,
I'll talk about him in a minute, Dean. Let me talk
doesn't
about
fit
no, he does not.
With the Lakers.
Right.
Yeah, because we know how the game has evolved. We know how the game has changed.
He's not a Chris Paul.
So there's a lot of times when the ball is in LeBron James's hands.
Preach.
You've got Rondo back on that team as well.
That's I like that.
Who has proven to be
starter.
The solid, legit point guard that you could use off the bench because of his age and everything. But his IQ and his knowledge and his experience can very much help you off the bench. But the issue with Westbrook is I think Westbrook is more a statistical guy. He's more a statistical guy than he is a guy that's going to take a back seat and say, okay, I'm going to do this tonight.
He's not a
I'm not going to do this tonight. I'm going to do this tonight. So it's going to be tough. And the rumors are all coming out that the Lakers are going to be heavy. And I just said it earlier in the news and updates in the opening.
Right.
That they've been heavy in the trade market. The only problem there is they've got so much money locked up into two or three players where they would have to move almost half of their team to get a solid player in return. Ironically, you picked up, I think it's three players that you picked up, Carmelo Anthony and like two other players, Dwight Howard, who you haven't heard pretty much anything from all season long.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis is always hurt.
Always hurt.
But there's Carmelo Anthony, and then I think there's two other players on the roster, current roster, that are being paid. And ironically, Luol Deng is still being paid by the Lakers. And what they're playing Luol Deng, who's not even playing in the league, is the sum of those three players. I forget who the other two players are, but I know Carmelo's in. It's like Carmelo and one or two other players. But their total salary, what they're paying them three, they're still also playing Luol Deng, who isn't even in the league currently.
Right.
So, the Lakers are going to have to make a trade or something. They're going to have to figure it out some kind of way.
It's not going to help. I hate to be realistic. It's not going to help.
But I don't know what direction they could go in because people talk about how Daryl Morey is wanting a star for Ben Simmons, which I have no issues with because as far as the business of basketball, you would be a fool not to ask for a star back for someone who has been an all-star.
Do you
would be a fool for that. But on the Lakers side, I can't see how they can get it done without having to move Westbrook,
AD,
possibly even Anthony Davis,
I'll move him first,
to make the team better.
He's young.
But you look at the makeup of that roster, and realistically,
LeBron,
outside of LeBron, and I'm trying to think who else is on that roster. I mean, you could arguably say Anthony Davis, but again, like I say, I don't say him because he gets hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So really, outside of LeBron, and let's play devil's advocate. Let's throw Westbrook in there right now. There's not really much there. You got rid of all your young pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Kuzma.
Got rid of Kuzma.
That was stupid.
And
I would have kept Kuzma.
You know, so it's hard to see where the Lakers are going to go. Steven Turner, thanks for tuning in. Mo, where you at? I can't pull you in, Mo, unless you come in. So you got to let us know you watching so I can pull you in. All right, boss lady.
Boss.
Yeah, boss lady. You got to let us know you're watching so we can pull you in. But I know you're listening. And I also know if you need to tell me anything, you're going to text me. So just let us know that you tuned in and I can pull you in.
Real quick about my Lakers.
Antoine Terrell, thanks for tuning in. Again, Steven Turner, thank you guys for tuning in. So, Frank wants to come to the defense of the Lakers team. So,
yeah, I'm going to let Frank. I love the 17 titles. We're ahead of the game.
And I'm going to let Frank add them on. Yeah, you can't live on them titles, yeah, man. Them titles is gone.
No, it's just
them titles are in the books. Yeah, you can't go back and replay them and get yourself no glory.
Let's start with Mr. Westbrook first. He is terrible. And I'm talking, like you said, man, he's a stat. He likes to fill up the stat sheet. It's about me. Like somebody, we need somebody like a Chris Paul or like somebody like a Jason Kidd to get the ball out. Like, let's say we're in the finals. He, for some reason.
But you had that.
He cannot hit a jump shot for us to save his life when it counts.
You had that and you traded it away.
Exactly. And like a Rajon Rondo. He's perfect for us. But like D said, he's up in age and he comes off the bench.
Right.
Now, Mr. Anthony Davis. This is the only way I feel as though we can probably maybe save the season. I doubt it because of the way Golden State playing. Trade him away. Mr. Injury Prone Anthony Davis.
What are you going to get for him?
I don't know, some picks or just another all-star.
The picks don't really help you now.
Yeah, I'm talking about like, who's another big? Help me out. Like another big.
That you can get for Anthony Davis?
He's
nobody.
Young. But he's a problem.
Who could you get? Right. I mean, you could arguably begin to be in some of the same situation that the Sixers are with Ben Simmons. You could ask for a price that you won't get.
Yeah, because everybody knows he's injury prone. He's not going to stay healthy.
Right.
Yeah,
but see, the problem with Anthony Davis is, and I've said this, because of the way that today's NBA is set up with his size. There's going to be times when he's going to need to play for the team purposes. He's going to need to play the five.
Right. That's what,
and he doesn't want to play the five. And I said that to you, Frank, when y'all first got Anthony Davis.
Right,
I said it's going to be a problem because he doesn't want to play the five.
Yeah.
Which is hard because you have to be able to play the five with the makeup of that team.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And he's big enough to play the five. Like that's old school. He got to play the same.
You know, it's funny.
Right?
Yeah, it's funny that...
Yeah, he wants to be a four.
It's funny that there's not more talk about him not wanting to play the five.
Yeah.
But...
And that's a strength.
On the flip side of that, when people get into the Joel Embiid conversations, and
JoJo.
Most locally, everybody says, oh, but he needs to be on the block more. He does this, he does that.
Yeah.
Which, in fact, is true.
I agree with that.
He's a modern man, and I agree with that
because, like I said, the way the game has changed, he is arguably the best big man on the block in the league, if not the best
big man
on the block. But the makeup of the Sixers team, you have to use him in his mid-range game because we don't have, like Baldy always says, we don't have that wing presence that can create his own shot.
Yeah, shot,
If we get a wing or a guard, well, other than Tyrese Massey is still young, still learning. If we get somebody that can properly space with the few shooters that we have, somebody that can create their own shot on the wing, I think Joe will be on the block more.
Like
but right now, he is our bread and butter.
Right.
No disrespect. And the closest thing to our bread and butter on this team, in my opinion, is Seth Curry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Seth, he's
a wild. I think Tobias
he's too
inconsistent.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
like last night, he had 23.
Okay.
But he also has moments.
He disappears.
Where. I won't say disappears, where I say he won't use his natural talent when he should.
And he plays defense.
But he has moments in games, sometimes big games,
right,
when he doesn't use his natural talent. I mean, he's 6'8", so he's kind of like that tweener. He can shoot the three enough to play the three.
Right.
He has enough in the post where you could play him as that four. Right. Not a stretch four, but you could play him at the four for matchups and different things.
I saw him bust you behind the post. I did.
But the inconsistency is the issue for me.
Seth Curry.
Seth Curry.
He's consistent. He stayed consistent.
Has been the second most consistent player on this team, but not the most consistent player on his team since he got here.
And he stayed healthy.
and getting back to the Lakers.
Oh, God.
Where, like, you look at it, like you said, you look at it. Like we said, we talked about the Ben Simmons trade scenarios where things have heated up with two, three teams and other types of situations. But what y'all can't get Ben Simmons.
Yeah, that's rumors it was.
It's the cash. The cash will never match up.
Yeah, I don't want him anyway.
again, trading Anthony Davis, which talk has come up about trading Anthony Davis.
Please, I'll be happy. You can't stay
the
home.
Issue becomes, where do you trade him? And what do you get in return for him?
The good thing about he's young.
Because right now, ideally, if you go with position, even though we know today's game is what they try to call positionless basketball, you don't have a starting center on the Lakers roster right now.
True.
The Sixers have been hit with the COVID.
Right.
So they've been up and down lately. But with the Lakers, they, I think, are beginning to see that this Russell Westbrook, it's not going
to
work.
Man, when he was with Oklahoma.
The problem was the season that he had in Washington. In Washington, when he was there, it was basically him and Bradley Beal.
Right, correct.
Two man team.
So, again, I think Westbrook is more of a statistical guy.
Yeah, stat sheet dude.
I've said it quite a few times that, in my opinion, I think he's going to go his whole career and not win a title.
Right.
I tell you that now. I could tell you that 5 years ago. Easy. It's nothing.
But him being on the Lakers poses a problem, especially when you guys have injuries, like you have injury with Anthony Davis. There was a stretch where him, Rondo, and somebody else was on the court. So three of your five players on the court at one particular time. The tallest one was 6'3". Out of just those three. So it might have been LeBron and somebody else. But you were small, very small. So that means LeBron was arguably playing the four or the five, depending who else was on the court.
That's not good.
And you had Russi and Rondo, who Russell Westbrook plays better with the ball in his hands because we know he's a stat guy.
Yeah.
Rondo is not a scorer.
But he has
Rondo
is a
point guard. So in essence, he would need the ball in his hands to get the most out of him.
Find LeBron.
So now you've got two players on the wing that need the ball to be successful.
It's not going
to
work.
Then you throw in LeBron, who also, in my opinion, needs the ball to be successful. So now you got three guys that need the ball to do what they do.
It's going
to
mess the
case. And it's only one ball.
Right, true.
It's kind of like the situation with the Sixers and Ben Simmons, where other than the fact that he's been coddled and everything else that we know about him, he's the type of player that, in my opinion, just looking in retrospect, needs the ball in his hands. But he has not improved on any aspect of him having the ball in his hand. And I've told people since the start of it, he's not a point guard. He's playing point guard. So there is a difference.
Yeah. Correct.
And the simple fact that he feels like playing with Joel Embiid doesn't allow him to get to do the things that he needs to do.
Right.
Well, now, dude, you're in the NBA. You're getting paid to play.
Right.
So there's going to come up moments when you have to alter your capabilities and possibilities to get along with the team to get the win.
Right.
You haven't improved on any of that, and you haven't shown any signs that you are willing to do that.
Right.
Like, Joel Embiid has done that.
Right.
But now, Joel Embiid sees and understands he's our bread and butter.
Yep, right.
So he has to make plays, or he's feeling like the leader and feeling like he has to make plays. He has to score these points. Again, because of the inconsistency of Tobias Harris,
right, right.
The youth of Tyrese Maxey.
I like Tyrese.
And then the makeup of the team where there's no legit threat that can create off his own dribble.
Korkmaz.
But Korkmaz is a shooter. Korkmaz is not a threat off the dribble.
Yeah. He's another J.J. Redick.
But he's not a threat off the... Korkmaz has gotten better where he will drive to the basket, but he's not a guy to create off the dribble on his own. The closest thing we have to that right now are Seth Curry and JoJo. Again, I can't put Tobias in there fully because of the inconsistency.
Mm-hmm.
We see that he can do it,
right?
But he doesn't do it enough.
My wife loves him. Like,
I'm not hating on him. I like him too. I just said he needs to be more consistent, especially with the money that he's being paid.
Yeah, exactly. He's supposed to step that game up more.
Especially with the money that he's being paid.
25 a night, right?
Yeah. So we can move along into the Sixers. Like I said, we know the Lakers. Like the Lakers, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough haul for the Lakers if they try to make a trade or anything like that.
Right, because I want to say about the Lakers, like LeBron, LeBron's doing it in year 19. He's doing it in 19, 30
Mileage.
Points a game.
Mileage.
But y'all keep losing because of Westbrook.
He's going to retire. He's going to retire early.
And y'all don't play defense at all.
Yeah,
no defense at all. Exactly. Like, all your players... Besides maybe LeBron, don't play defense at all.
That's a problem.
Anybody y'all lose to, San Antonio, Memphis, Minnesota,
Spurs
ain't
that good.
Like the old San Antonio teams that y'all should beat.
Like a young team that's in transition right now. So
OKC
twice. You know what I mean? Yeah. So y'all need to figure out what to do. Westbrook.
You're right.
So it's just bad that on one of the shows, like, wow, they doing the same on Westbrook. Turnovers. And the same on
that's another thing that we were about to say, D. He can turn the ball to the OKC.
So, and y'all could have signed on, what's his name? Buddy Hield. Offseason.
I like Buddy.
Because he would be a bad fit for y'all's team if LeBron said Westbrook. So, it could have kept. Suicide Caruso, Kat Caruso, that was a big underrated loss for y'all. Yeah. You know, so,
let's move on, man.
So y'all got to figure out real quickly where you're going to be in February because if y'all don't improve, y'all playing the playing game. Like last year.
Yeah, right.
Yep. And y'all might not even get that.
That's
it depends on how it goes.
Yeah. Don't stay 1-0, man.
I mean, and like you said, it depends on how y'all do and depends on what happens around the trade deadline. What teams do to get better.
February.
Well, what teams do to get better.
Yeah.
What teams do.
A little bit, man.
What teams do to fully go into their rebuild.
Right.
Like, Indiana's looking to go into a rebuild as soon as they can.
Right.
So, they've got pieces. But on the Sixers.
Indiana.
On the Sixers side, and as far as the Ben Simmons trade goes, again, I've said this every time we talked about it. And people have always said to me, oh, well, no, this, that, and the third. I'm to the point now where for the Sixers to get better, they may need to seriously think about taking as close as possible to what they wanted as opposed to what they wanted for Ben Simmons.
Right.
Because you don't have anything to go on except for him being an ass. And the way he handled this whole situation. And he hasn't played. So it's not like the other 29 teams have blinders on and they don't see any of this. They see it. And it's a big issue because I think the Sixers will be better suited if and when they do make a trade.
True.
Just to get, for lack of a better phrase, just to get that monkey off their back.
Right.
And I don't think it's affecting the players too much, but it is affecting the overall success of the team. Like I've always said in the whole process, or in the whole situation, I like the things that he does on the court. I need him to shoot more. I would like for him to shoot more.
But he just won't shoot.
Well, his thing, I don't think...
Make the effort.
His thing is, he doesn't... His thing is, he doesn't know how to deal with failure.
He's scared he's going to miss every shot.
He doesn't know how to deal with criticism.
Yeah.
Because of the way his basketball career went up until he got to this point. And he... in a way, is somewhat selfish.
Spoiled, too. I think spoiled.
And spoiled is an understatement. I think he's selfish. Because you don't want to do the things to help the team get better. His complacency level is at an all-time high. Where he's happy with saying, yeah. I'm an all-star. I'm this, I'm that. He's happy with that. But in order for you to be great, like everyone else says, you got to do the things that the great ones did. You have to do the work. I mean, look at Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid was somewhat in the same situation. His first couple years in the league, Shaq and everybody talked about, even most recently, three years ago. He's too lazy. He won't stay in shape.
Yeah.
He fueled that and turned himself into runner-up for the MVP of the league last year. This year, he's doing the same thing. But the way today's NBA is now set up, you cannot rely on your 7-foot center to win games for you consistently. And that's not a bad thing. You need other parts. Because you have to be able to let him work on the block. And then that mid-range game and even that three-pointer that he gives you is gravy, whatever, whipped cream, cherry on top. Because he can do that. But again, we've all seen when he's focused, when he can stay on the block, there's nobody that can deal with him on the block. But the makeup of the team, there are too many moments where he has to utilize his mid-range game.
Come out there and hit that jumper.
He's got to utilize that mid-range game. And I mean, it's an advantage for him.
I used to get on.
It's an advantage for him against most of the centers in the league.
Well, forwards come down there. Forwards, too.
But that's not really where you want him. This way, when he gets that work, it opens up opportunities for your shooters.
He can knock it down.
Right, but you can't.
He can knock that joint there.
But you can't have him playing there as long or for the moments or the stretches that they have him playing there. But right now, the makeup of the team, they really have no choice.
Yeah.
But arguably, for you to be successful to where you want to be, you have to use that as the gravy.
Right.
Okay. The Ben Simmons issue is one that's going to go down in history in the NBA.
Waste of talent.
That's
what I know.
It's going to leave a mark on the city. It's going to leave a mark on the team. Until they make a trade, probably even after they make a trade.
Y'all get a player for him back, you think?
It's going to be tough, man. Like, it's hard because it's gotten to the point in the league now where it's looking like, and they keep saying that things are heating up. So all that leads me to believe is that teams are looking at where they are and looking to say, oh, well, maybe if we get him, we can get a couple games better. And maybe sneak in the playoffs a little bit higher than where we expected.
Did I ask you a quick question?
So I think it might come to that as far as in a trade for him. But the Sixers and Daryl Morey are not going to do it just to do it. Like I said, they're going to do it in a way that they get stuff back that's going to benefit them right now. So in essence, they ask for the picks.
Right.
Picks don't really help them right now. Picks aren't really what they want. Right now, they need players. They need bodies that can come in. Like I jokingly said about the Lakers not signing, re-signing Isaiah Thomas. I jokingly posted, "Oh, Daryl Morey, are you seeing this?" Because although he's small, he's small,
he can help out.
He's a veteran.
Mm-hmm.
He can score the ball.
Get to the line.
He can. He is an NBA point guard, so he can run the show. Mm-hmm. And you can use him to help Tyrese Maxey along with Doc Rivers and Sam Cassell.
Yeah.
But he's the like difference with the difference with having that type of player you can put out on the floor.
Right.
When Maxey's not on the floor, he can sit right next to Sam Cassell. And Sam Cassell can, in essence, say, look, you see what he just did on that play? It was a scoring opportunity, but as a point guard, he made another higher percentage scoring opportunity for another player. And I think I have all the confidence Tyrese Maxey is going to get there.
I like him.
It's just going to take some time, and you have to understand this is only his second year. And because of the situation outside of basketball, he was thrust into the starting position. And he's performed well. He's taken every advantage of this opportunity.
Right.
But I've been telling people over the last several weeks and maybe a month or so, watch out for when he finally learns how to be an NBA point guard. With his ability to score, once he learns how to be an NBA point guard, he's going to be a real problem.
Dude, back to Ben Simmons. Quick question. You can chime in too. You think when y'all finally get rid of this dude, you think he's going to be like a Lonzo Ball to learn and be improved as a better player, you think?
No.
No.
Because his attitude's got to change.
Right.
I mean, you can look at it. You said Lonzo Ball. Yeah. You look at Lonzo Ball now. Lonzo Ball worked on his jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. His jump shot has gotten better.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
Ben Simmons.
So he's gonna stay the same.
What has Ben Simmons worked on?
Nothing.
Nothing.
You think what team picks
now,
him to?
Like Golden State. I had somebody chime in on a post last week.
Right.
And they kind of mentioned or hinted to the fact that Ben Simmons is not the one that needs to be traded. They went into all this hoopla about Joel Embiid doesn't make anybody better.
Oh my God.
I've said And I went into this conversation. It was a very long conversation. And you know me, I normally don't, when I hear nonsense like that, I normally don't get involved because I know how it gets to me and I know where I go with it. But this time I went with it for a little bit.
This person knowing basketball.
And I asked the question,
what?
Who has Ben Simmons made better since he's been in the league?
I'll be about to go the other way. I'm going to say, what did JoJo don't do? What he
Who has Ben Simmons made better?
Nobody. He didn't make himself better.
And,
right, so it's not him.
Really?
So, like,
right.
I was out of chopped in on
so,
that post.
So, in my opinion,
I tore him up.
JoJo has made people better.
Yeah, and he made himself better.
He made himself better, first and foremost.
Exactly.
But what has Ben Simmons done? And I get all the accolades. You always top whatever in defense. Yada, yada, yada. When Joel was out, you scored that 40-some points against Utah, and we still lost.
Still lost, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The majority of the time when JoJo has a game like he had last night, 36 and 13, those are games that we usually win.
And everybody else.
Also, Joel shot 12 of 17 from the floor. Not a bad shooting night. From the three-point line, he shot 2 for 5.
Mm-hmm.
From the free throw line, he was 10 for 11.
Mm. Oh, he always good at the line.
So there are your differences. There are your comparisons.
Yeah.
Where has Ben Simmons made himself or anybody better since he's been in the league?
That was a dumb statement. I wouldn't argue with that.
it's funny how people are still on the point or on the fact that the Sixers are wrong in this situation.
Yeah, everybody's talking about that.
And don't get me wrong. I feel like there's enough blame on both sides.
Right, I agree.
I do. Because I feel like the Sixers should have tried to facilitate a trade over the summer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Before it even got to him saying he wasn't coming back or whatever. Maybe even last year they should have traded him.
I said 2 years, man. Yeah.
But
I said 2 years.
It's to the point now where
we're on the bridge now.
They're going to have to move him. Whenever it happens, they're going to have to move him. Whenever it happens, however it happens, they're going to have to move him. It's inevitable. But, again, his complacency, his stubbornness, his arrogance,
attitude
and his unwillingness to get better himself is a huge part of the problem, which is none of the Sixers doing.
Right.
I mean, he said allegedly that Doc threw him under the bus when Doc was asked if he was the point guard to win the championship. Doc said, I don't know yet. I've only coached him 1 year. This is my first year of him being. But Doc even coming in, Doc said he wanted them to be together because their winning percentage was 60-some percent with him and Joel on the floor. So how can you turn around and say that you don't want to play with this guy anymore when your winning percentage was arguably at that point the best in the league?
You heard what JoJo said. He said, I'm tired talking about
so, JoJo tired. So you say that, you don't get any better. And then, even with you not coming in, the Sixers were all willing to get a shooting coach for you. They had people set up for you to go see, but you didn't want to go see them. You wanted to do things on your own.
Right.
So, again, it goes back to what I said several weeks ago, maybe even months ago. Who was in his camp and who was advising him about this entire situation?
Right.
So, again, when people say it's the Sixers' fault, I know they're leaning on the fact that they should have just went on and traded him 2 years ago or whatever.
Yep, 2 years.
But it's not that easy as far as the business-wise.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because of the contract he signed and things of that nature, it's not that easy.
Right.
But he had a major role to play in it itself because he didn't get any better. I've often asked people as well, and I said, I hope it doesn't come to this, but arguably you could say the mishap he had in Game 7 against the Hawks could arguably define his career. It's very arguable. You can argue that. You could debate that on any show, anywhere, anytime.
Yep.
And for people to say that it's totally the Sixers' fault, I think it's funny. I think it's wrong. Like, again, I say, I'm not saying that they're squeaky clean. There is some fault on both sides. But the Sixers could have done something to avoid all of this, but they didn't.
Yeah, they did.
But they felt like they could bring him around. In my opinion, they understood where they were. They understood their faults. They tried to make amends of those faults and try and come together. But
right.
Not sweep under the rug. They tried to do something to try and come at to get with him and see, yo, what can we do? We're willing to help, but
that's not
when you stall us out,
trying to help
them. When you stall us out, then it gets kind of funky.
Man.
So, again, you know, a lot of people are saying that, well, maybe he'll go to another team and he'll shoot the ball. Again, I say you watch all these videos, and the videos that I saw him shooting the ball and workouts or whatever, they don't impress me. Because, like I said, when you got three or four NBA players in a room in a gym and they're playing against college players or other guys that are trying to make the league or G League or whatever, those three professional NBA players are just working on their conditioning. Right. And working on getting their rhythm together for their shot. But it really means nothing if you get to the games, actual NBA games, and then you don't use it.
Yeah.
Any of it.
Use your talent too.
Okay. So.
I'm just tired of talking about this.
I saw another article, and I'm going to touch on this a little bit while we got some time.
Right.
You know, it says two reasons why Simmons will be out of the league in approximately 2 years.
Out of the league?
Out of the league.
Wow. I can see that.
So it says, Claude.
Save all his money.
Claude tunes in.
We're
going to see what Claude says. Claude says, we got to stop talking at Ben. At this point, trying to make sense out of his attitude is just a headache. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very talented basketball player, but his attitude and demeanor is crippling him. As a team, we have to see him as a movable asset,
right.
And you have to give value for him.
Right.
Don't trade him just to trade him. Absolutely, Claude. That's exactly a lot of the things that I said, Claude. And I said, I'm to the point now where you might want to just go with as close as possible to what you wanted for him.
Right.
But I also did say, I agree with you, Claude, and I also did say that it's to the point where you have to move him.
Yeah, you have to.
You have to. You have to stop trying to see where his head is and all of that. You just have to be focused on trying to move him. Yeah, you just got to be focused on trying to move him. So, one of the things they said in this article, and this is a lot of things that Claude just said, said the main issue is nothing else than his attitude. There's no worse player in the league than in Australia. And they joke and say, so it's more evident that the blame is on Simmons completely.
Go back to okay? Australia.
After the elimination, both coach Doc Rivers and star Joel Embiid put a lot of doubt on whether Simmons can really lead this team in the future. They were only going on what had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, like again, we said, you're only as good as your last game.
That's right.
So they went on what they witnessed, what had just happened. Man. So Simmons comes in and he asked for a trade. He also made it clear that he wasn't going to report to training camp. Yada yada yada, all this other stuff. So in the NBA, we know that teams value stability. If he continues with this behavior, he'll be out of the league in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Even if a team trades for Simmons, Simmons will remain the type of person that he is. That, I think that's totally true.
That is actually that, yeah.
And it's not something that a lot of teams can afford to accommodate. Okay? And the issue with that is you can look at his talents, but then you also are going to keep in the back of your mind and on the back burner and say, what if something happens and he doesn't like what's going on here?
Same old story.
He could go through the same thing all over again.
Tiger don't lose his stripes.
Mm-hmm. You made people swing more to the side of you showing up because you were getting fined because of the money issues. You couldn't live the lavish life that you lived. You ended up selling two houses. Mm-hmm. You bought the $17 million house in L.A., that you really can't afford now. You've been fined. And I think his fines are almost to the point of about somewhere between $6 and $10 million currently.
Wow. He's using all that money.
So, stupid. You know, it's, again, the attitude is not what teams are looking for. Teams are not going to put up with this attitude. They're not going to take that chance on ruining the culture that they may have or may be trying to create, mm-hmm, to bring in somebody with a knucklehead
attitude right,
like this.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the shooting is a small issue, but that's not the bigger issue. The biggest issue is him not wanting to do anything about him not shooting the ball, or not doing this or not doing that.
Everybody gonna miss.
And you've been throwing blame, deflecting the blame off of yourself and throwing blame on everyone else. You have not once at any given moment said, I need to get better. I'm mm-hmm going to focus on getting better right to help my team out. You basically are just bailing. You're saying, all right, I can't do what I want anymore mm-hmm now here, so I need to go somewhere else where I might be able to get the chance to do what I want.
This is beyond selfish.
And people are getting on Doc. I don't think it's a lot of Doc's fault. I think it happened during the Brett Brown era where he was allowed to do what he wanted and was not held accountable for things. This is the reason why Jimmy Butler did not want to come back.
So a wing, and I'm a big Butler fan.
Okay.
He's the reason why you could have went to the final. Because of Ben Simmons.
Because
of Ben Simmons.
That team that lost to Kawhi Leonard in Toronto.
Butler said it too.
On that bounce.
Mm-hmm.
If the coach had been solid and held people accountable
mm-hmm
with that team, they could have run that back.
Won a chip. Probably won a chip.
And had a very, very good chance of winning.
Getting
to the finals and winning the title.
Yeah.
But Butler's a problem.
Because like we said, if that ball doesn't go in, in my opinion, they beat Toronto in a
game seven. That year. Went to the finals.
Yeah.
That was their best chance at beating Milwaukee. That was probably arguably their best chance at possibly beating Milwaukee.
They had Butler.
So,
Jimmy Butler's a problem.
More realistically, I think his career is going to make a turn in the other direction. I think it's going to descend. I don't think it's going to ascend anymore. Because I think now, with everything that he's done and not playing so far this entire season, he'll get to a team where he's going to end up having a specific role, which is something that he probably won't be able to handle. Because you're not going to go to a team. I mean, just imagine, even if one of the better trades I've heard was a deal with the Spurs, which could arguably net us DeJounte Murray and a couple other pieces. But the problem is, you're not going to pull this crap with Pop. Because Pop is sitting in.
Yeah, that's right. True.
He doesn't care. He don't care. I don't care if you my superstar. Now, he did it with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili.
Yeah,
and David Robinson. He did it with all of them.
Yeah.
And at different points in their careers, these guys were his guys.
Who was that
him? So, who were you, and you haven't proven as much as those guys had proven, even in some of them moments where he sent them home or when he chastised them on the sidelines.
And they're way better than him.
They were better than what he has proven to be so far in his career.
Right. So, yeah, so he probably won't leave.
So, I mean,
you're right there. He might be out of the league, man.
And he's also making it bad for some of the younger players who could not so much come in the league, but who could be up for contracts where teams may back off a little bit with giving some of these players max contracts and super maxes after they see what he's done in his whole time. But it's crazy, and I've said this several times, it's crazy that this kid has so much talent.
Crazy.
But the problem is, again, the coddling, not being held accountable for his actions.
Do you think his father's fault?
It's a lot of people's fault.
Let's
go back. It starts with the dad, because your dad played, and your dad was a rugged player. Yeah. He didn't play overseas, but he was a rugged player.
I think his father's
fault. Let's go through the lineage. You grew up in Australia.
Yeah.
In Australia, overseas, when you get into high school, your later years in high school, you start working out, playing on the national team. Then usually you get out of high school and you go right into the national team. So you become a pro immediately, in essence, okay?
Yeah,
I don't think his career was like that in Australia because he wanted to come to the NBA. So he followed the guidelines that were in place at that time.
Right, correct.
He had to come to the United States and at least play college for 1 year. So he decided to come over his junior and senior year in high school to, I guess, catch up on the American game to make the progress to the 1 year of college to the NBA. But you went to one of, if not the top at the time, basketball prep schools in the country. Made it easy for you.
Right.
You didn't play point guard there, but it was easy for you because it was you. And you figure a high school team might be 12, 13 players. So at least four of them 13, maybe even five of those 13 are five-star high school players. So it was easy for you there. Then you transition into college. Again, they made it easy for you. They coddled you. You went to a school where your godfather was an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 year, a team that didn't make the NCAA tournament, didn't even make the NIT tournament.
Spoon-fed all the way through. That's why
then you get into the NBA, and by chance, your first coach is a coach that's known you since you were a young kid who coached your dad. 10, 12
years old.
So again, it's easy transition for you. You then had some injuries. You finally got the opportunity to play. Told this guy you need the ball in your hands. He made you the alleged point guard. But you have not improved on your game since you've been in the league. All of the greats have done things to make their games better because they wanted to be great. All of them.
Kevin Garnett.
There are some of those greats that are still living now that have no issues when current NBA players call them and say, hey, look, I want to come work out with you so I can get some pointers, whatever. I mean, look at Joel. Joel went and worked out with Hakeem Olajuwon.
Kobe did. Kobe better than Olajuwon. Okay. He came and asked him for some advice.
The whole point is, when you have a lineage, when you have a line like that,
respect.
Right now, and I'm thinking hindsight, they say it's 2020. He is who he is. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the complacency thing for me is the killer.
Right.
Because you're okay with being an all-star, being a top defensive player of the year every year. But every other player in the NBA's goal is to get in, get better, and possibly somewhere down the line win a championship. So, but you haven't done anything to make yourself better. You look at Tyrese Maxey's improvement in one season, in one summer.
He worked on a lot of stuff.
You look at Joel Embiid's progression the entire time that he's been here. Like I said, he's arguably went from being called or being touted lazy, a lazy, injury-prone, for lack of a better word, fat center, to being in the MVP conversation over the last 2.5, yeah, 3 years.
Come on, King
in 2-3 years.
So, those are guys that wanted to get better.
Got better.
But where is that same thing for Ben Simmons? Right, and like we said, that attitude is one that's going to hurt his progression. I mean, it already has hurt his progression because he doesn't want to do it.
He can't accept criticism, too.
Right, and I said early. That.
Yeah, he's but mad about that.
So he doesn't know how to handle it. I mean, this is the thing. You know, but this is what happens. This is what they say when they say players are coachable. Arguably, since you're playing the point guard, arguably the best thing that could have ever happened to you was to have Doc Rivers and Sam Cassell as your assistant coaches. Mm-hmm. You got one that won 3 championships in the league. You got one that was a solid point guard for his era in the league.
For years. Doc, he was. I saw him play. Trust me, he was good too. Real good.
So, arguably, you playing for these two guys could have been the best thing to happen to your career. But you don't know how to, and you don't want to accept it. And your stubbornness, again, like the article said, your stubbornness could ironically find you out of the league. Because
he must have got a second job coming, or something, a career or something.
No, you don't. He doesn't. That's why he came. That's why he came back, and that's why he went on again to say the mental health issues, and then he started talking about the fines are really, really starting to heighten his mental health issues because now you can't buy a car every month, which in my opinion was stupid. But you given this money, you signed for this contract, now you end up giving this money back.
Right, it's pretty much.
And the bigger problem of it is you got an owner. Well, not an owner. You got a general manager who's been around the block a couple times. It's the reason they put the money in escrow. They didn't flat out pay, they put it in escrow. So basically, we don't even have to go back and forth with you about, all right, you had this contract, you didn't show up for these basketball activities, whatever, whatever, we're going to fine you, write that check. No, it's in escrow. So when we decide, and you decide that you don't want to come and it's time for a fine, we just going to go withdraw it out the bank. We ain't got to bother with you. We ain't got to dilly-dally with you about none of that. So the whole situation, like Claude chimed in and said, it is tired, and it's to the point where they just have to move him. Yeah. I mean, whether it's the trade deadline this year, whether it's over the summer or whatever. But again, I say that it's looking like they're either going to have to do a 2 or 3 team deal.
Right.
And it's going to come to the point where they're going to have to be willing to accept as close as possible to deal. What they wanted.
Yeah.
Not the best deal, as close as possible to what they wanted, because they still got to do something to make the team better.
Right.
You say,
can't mess it up. Can't
you can say up. The best deal possible, but that might not make you better.
Yeah, mm-hmm. True.
So you got to get as close as possible
he gonna laugh about it. Like,
to what you want or what you wanted
him, right?
For him.
Yeah, it'd be a pleasure.
But arguably,
it got worse.
You know, I kind of feel like in a small way that it should be like the old days. Send him to OKC. Mm. I mean, I don't think he really has any room or any leg to stand on to demand where you want to go. I don't think you've done enough.
He probably don't care.
To do that. He cares.
What team you go to?
He cares. He wants to be in California. That's where he wants to be. Out California or somewhere close.
Clippers?
Somewhere close, California or somewhere close. That's where he wants to
Portland.
Be. Because that's where he spends most of his summers at. Mm-hmm. So that's where he wants to be.
Man.
But it's going to be, crazy.
Somebody said Miami.
To see what they do. He won't go to Miami because him and Jimmy Butler will bump heads, and that will be a serious. And they got Kyle Lowry, so they don't need him. They wouldn't take him anyway because of his play. So, with that being said, we got about 12 minutes left, 10 minutes, 12 minutes left. I'm going to give you these schedules for today in the NBA. You got Rockets, Hornets, Bulls, Hawks, Celtics, T-Wolves, Jazz, Spurs, Grizzlies, Suns, Mavs, Blazers, and the Nets are at the Clippers. Moving on, week 17. Again, don't forget Miami and New Orleans tonight, closing out week 16 in the NFL. Playoff push is upon us. So, we get into our week 17 picks. Sunday, January 2nd.
Yes, sir.
Atlanta at Buffalo.
I'm going with Buffalo.
I am going to also go with Buffalo.
I'm not cheating on you,
there. New York Giants at Chicago.
Oh,
I'm going with the Bears at home.
This is a good game right here.
KC at Cincy.
I'm going
I think
Cincinnati.
Kansas City has hit a stride now. I'm going with KC.
I'm going Cincinnati.
Arizona at Dallas.
I'm going with Dallas. Arizona.
Yeah, I'm going to end up going with Dallas there, too. Tennessee at Miami. Miami at Tennessee.
I'm going with Tennessee.
I'm going with Tennessee as well. The Raiders are at the Colts.
I'm going with the Colts.
I'm going with the Colts there. Jacksonville at New England. I like New England. New Orleans and Carolina. I like New Orleans. Tampa Bay against the Jets. I like the Eagles over the Washington football team. The Chargers over the Broncos.
Frisco, I'm going, we mad. We should have lost that game. Why are you thinking that, man? We got to win our last two games. And we're mad we should have won that game. They're going to put up a fight.
I'm going to go with the 49ers there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Seattle over Detroit.
Yeah.
Go with the Rams over the Ravens.
I'm going to upset Baltimore.
Yeah, depends on if Lamar Jackson can play.
Uh-huh.
I'm going with the Pack over the Vikings.
Yep.
And next Monday, I'm going with Pittsburgh over Cleveland.
Yeah, those are your picks.
Those are your picks for week 17 in the NFL.
Great show.
This coming weekend is New Year's Eve. I hope everyone is safe and brings in the new year in a safe environment, in a safe way.
Yeah.
Hope everyone has a prosperous new year.
Prosperous.
Also, next week, next Monday, will be our first show of 2022.
I will be here.
And the talk will begin once again, but I'm going to give you the heads up now.
Right.
As you know, we are going mobile.
Right.
So beginning January the 6th,
yes, sir,
we will return to the Drake Tavern to do an on-location podcast at the Drake Tavern on Thursday.
Uh-huh.
January 6th will be beginning every other Thursday there.
Yes, sir.
So stay tuned to keep getting updates on what times and all the situations that will go on at the Drake Tavern. You can catch me right here each and every Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Heat100Radio.com on the Sports Rap Podcast, right here on Heat100 Radio. You can also Instagram and Twitter at SportsRap_D, the group page Sports Rap Podcast on Facebook, the YouTube channel Sports Rap TV. Again, folks, get over to YouTube. I know you tune in on Facebook.
Right.
I know you talk to me on Instagram.
Right.
Get over to YouTube. Subscribe to the channel. Like the videos that you like. And make sure you hit that bell so you will be alerted when new video is uploaded. The webpage, sportsrapradio.com. And the audio will also go up on GW District, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and most of your podcast outlets.
You can catch me on Instagram, 2418, Franklin Mulligan, 2418. You can also hit me up on Facebook.
So you can follow me on Instagram, Levon1021. It's LAVON1021.
Right.
Instagram, also my business page, PTG111113. And then I'm on Facebook, LaVon Howard, as well. I have my own radio show as well on Saturdays called awesome. Woman's Stroll to Experience okay. Radio right. Show. So, we will be back on January 15th. Okay. Get rid of it right now because New Year and right. events coming up. I'll be back on January 15th on that show. Right. You can watch that show on, you know, on our Facebook page, Woman's Stroll to Facebook page. Right. We are looking for our website as well, but also we got a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Me and my wife got a YouTube channel, Hanging with the Howards, for couples, you know, okay. who are married, courting, right. you know, dating, trying to find a way.
Black Wall Street is now online, baby. That's right. Visit the GW District. Shop the very best in men's and women's apparel and accessories, home decor, office supplies, books, pantry items, and so much more. The GW District is a retail marketplace of black-owned products and media. We're both veteran and black-owned, and we're bringing you the best online shopping experience with products made by small businesses. Come and experience the GW District difference today at shopgwdistrict.com. That's shopgwdistrict.com. The GW District, a retail marketplace of black-owned products and media.
That's right! That's right!